Welcome to the Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. We hope you enjoy the show.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to the latest edition of the very unofficial Edinburgh City Supporters Club podcast. Much like the city, we are also back. Hello, good evening. It has been a very long 14 months. As ever, I am your host, the Right Reverend Bobby Love, joined by my first co-host, Mr. Monks himself, Ali McCreef.
Good evening, Bob, and that was a well-practiced introduction. delighted to be back, everybody. It's been, I don't know if it's been 14 months, but it's been a while. But couldn't be happier to be back under the circumstances.
Absolutely. And, of course, to the second co-host, Citizen Neil, Mr. Rooney, good evening.
Good evening. Good to be back. Might turn into me and Ali, but we'll get into that in the party. You know, with you having a shirt and tie on these days, so it's fine. You know, we know we can be many of the people. We know what the script is, so it's fine.
All 20 good. Seconds in, and we've already taken a jibe at me being on the board there. Unbelievable. But we'll get to that at some point during the pod. Yes, as it has been, we've pretty much missed a year. I think anybody who knows will know exactly the reasons why we've missed about a year. Our last pod was the city's going up at Annan before everything happened. We're not going to dwell on that too much, I don't think. I don't have an agenda for this evening either, folks, so we're just going to try and wing it. So what I'll do is I'll let Ali go first and we can decide on what we're going to talk about for there. Go.
Yeah, I think what would be good, and I think we were chatting today, is I think when it comes to what has happened to the club, what happened over the last year, there is a big story to tell, and actually there's a story that's relevant for a lot of Scottish football fans. But it wasn't nice by stretch of the imagination what we went through. There were real challenges, and I think it probably deserves a real pretty detailed analysis, and actually I think there are some interesting stories to tell, some cautionary tales as well. So we will tell those stories in the fullness of time and get some other people involved. But yeah, I think for the moment, so the difference between from now and a year ago is just remarkable. The fact that we were able to sit down last week and a half, whatever it was, for that Hibs friendly, and you know it was Edinburgh City that were back, and it was decent. The performance was okay. It was a good day, but it was the fact that Edinburgh City were back, and it just feels like a totally different. It just feels like having our club back again. It's hard to express how much the name thing means. I don't think I realised how much it meant until we went through it. But it's just the fact that we've got the name back, that we've got, it feels like we've got our club back now. There is optimism going into what will be a really difficult season. And if we're going to talk about what the season, we think it's like, this will be a challenging season for all of what we said and all of what happened last year. It was, to be honest, a success on the park. You know, I don't think anybody could deny that. Not to kind of spill any secrets, but I think when, you know, a couple of months ago when it looked like the club was in trouble and maybe we're going to find a way to save it, even our most optimistic moments when we looked at what the challenge would be ahead of us this season, I think everyone was pretty worried. However, when the dust has settled and actually you look at the squad that we've got, the management team that we've got in place, I actually think I'm a lot more confident now than I was previously. It could have been a significantly worse than it is. We've got a really strong core of players who are proven at this level, proven it above this level. Also got a handful of players with something to prove, and Mr. Ryan Shanley is probably one of those players in particular we've just been talking about before we came on air. So. And looks like we're going to be augmenting the squad with some younger players as well, which is always a real challenge in lower league Scottish football. It's a tough environment for young boys to come in. But there's maybe, you guys know the youth set up better than I do, but maybe two or three, possibly four players that we think could play a role this season. So that's that's good to see, but it'll be a big challenge for Alan Mabery and the rest of the management team to support those guys. So, yeah, in terms of on the park, I'm a lot more confident now. It'll be a tough season, a really, really tough season. But I'm a lot more confident than I was. I'm delighted to have my season ticket, delighted my membership as well, which we might get onto maybe later on in the pod. But yeah, we've bitten your arm off to be here when we think what it was 2.5 months ago or something like that.
Aye, thanks. Decent summation so far, Rooney.
I don't know if I could top that, to be honest. Or I didn't think of that. No, I'd agree. I don't. The emotional attachment was to the football club and a name, you know, it is very important. It's not like it's been a merger or something like that. You know, we might get into that at some point later in the season. But yeah, the name was huge and it was very much a, there's your football club. We'll just rip the heart out of it. And the guys have moved the ball, whatever's happened, for whatever reasons happened. But I think everybody would go, we could probably have done it in a different way. So I'd be glad to go back to casually being able to walk along and give a football now and again and use my season ticket as well. So that's quite nice.
Aye. I think, as you kind of said there, just, you don't really know how much a name means until it gets taken away from you. And one of the things I'd said in the meetings that we'd had with the previous board is that if you'd read anything to do with like the fan-led review in England, these are the kind of things that made a difference. So the name, the badge, strips, which owners on the most part probably don't understand how much that actually means to fans. It's like a throwaway thing, oh, we'll bring out a new strip, or we'll just change the badge this way, or we can maybe have a wee tweak of the name or whatever else. And it means a massive amount to a massive lot of people, and the identity essentially was stripped for a year and it's been brought back. And I think as one of the fans said, it's like a dark cloud has been lifted.
Yeah.
You know, like, just everybody seems right up for the challenge of this season, whether that be the players, the coaching staff, the fans, everybody, right? Everybody seems well up for it. People are excited again. There's a wee bit of buzz about the club again, which there hadn't been since the day in Annan, really. And it's like a total turnaround. And that's not to say there's not going to be challenges. I think we're all pretty aware that there's going to be some challenges off the park, whether that be finances or Meadowbank or whatever. But as you said, Ali, I think the core of the squad is there. We've only really lost three players that we say were kind of key, maybe. Two of them went full-time, which you can't really deny them. One's went to a relatively big club in Linfield. certainly bigger than us, anyway. You know what I mean? They're a big name. They're a big name. I know Northern Ireland football gets slated a little bit, but it's a big name on the scale of things. So you can't really stop that kind of idea. Like, you can't really deny people going full-time, so... Aye, there's just a difference in the club and everything, just a wee bit of buzz. Like, we've got, you mentioned season tickets, we've got the cheapest season ticket in the SPFL, which we had before, which then decided it wasn't going to be because the previous board decided that wasn't a good idea. The membership scheme has come in, which I think is a great idea. A lot of teams are doing it. I noticed, actually, I got an email from Ipswich today because I bought a ticket previously. They're doing like a membership scheme for that type of idea for a year. Obviously, I do one with the Speedway and whatnot, so it adds a wee bit of extra income into the club, and even if people can't afford a season ticket, at least they can feel like, well, at least I'm contributing something, even if it's £10 a month. Excuse me. Even just like little things, like the social media has been a complete turnaround from the last regime. You know what I mean? Things are getting put out regularly. They're replying in funny ways to like people that are getting on at us. Obviously, about maybe a certain centre forward being some of them selling Mallorca at the minute. Which
jealousy
we'll
is a horrible
later.
Thing. Jealousy is a horrible thing.
We'll go into that maybe a wee bit later. and it's like, it just feels, everyone just seems a lot happier. No, I mean, we were never going to do this again until the name came back or something turned around. You know, people were asking, are you coming back? Are you coming back? And that's like, big us up. But obviously, we are celebs. But you know what I mean? People ask, are you bringing it back? It's like, nah, no under the current lot. There's absolutely no chance. We weren't really going to games, barely going to the 20s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Me and Rooney had been a few of the women's games. We had a terrific season last season, going undefeated. You know, and then it was like, oh, no. And then as soon as we knew the name was coming back, we're like, right, are we setting this up again? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And then everybody's like, you bring it back? Yes, we are. You know what I mean? So it's wee things like that that make a difference. You know what I mean? We do really well enough, I think, to advertise the club. We do well enough on social media and all that kind of stuff as well. So I think the big takeaway really is that we're all really, really happy. And what a difference it makes. Even though we know the season's going to be difficult, we're a wee bit like, do you know what? Aye, it's going to be difficult, but you know what? We're clubs back, and that's the main thing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's always loads of reasons to be. Football is often a miserable thing, and we all get, we spend more time being pissed off at football than you do being happy. So it is nice to sit here to think about season tickets being cheap, being accessible, walk-up tickets as well being cheap, being accessible, the membership option being really fairly priced with a really good range of different benefits for people all over the country, people who live abroad now. Going to be the fact that we're doing something different with our hospitality, with, you know, a local brewery that everybody, I think, everyone who lives in the area will know and will like it at Belfield Brewery. They seem like a really good bunch.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to support the club as well, actually. So, you know, doing something a little bit different, as you said, about the social media. People are engaging with things. There's a real positive momentum as well, and even just for the fans, there's a kind of a constant drip feed of information from the ownership. They've really, actually, what I've liked is they've asked for our help. Maybe cover this in another podcast. I think it deserves its own focus. But even with the name change, it wasn't a really simple process. There was some fan input, actually quite significant fan input was required. The board reached out to us for that, engaged us with that really early, and were able to reap the benefits of it. I think that just shows, and even things like some of the sponsorship, people getting friends and family involved, getting local businesses they know involved, and it's just all of this kind of positive stuff that just, even with the Hibs game, being able, you know, getting a number of volunteers coming out to make sure that we could get as much capacity as possible, people having a decent view as well. So, you know, taking on board the criticism from last season about Meadowbank. And I know the club are also buying whatever they can with Meadowbank. It's not easy, obviously everyone understands that. But it's just sitting here and thinking about how the new ownership have conducted themselves. There will be challenges along the way, and they will make mistakes along the way. But at the moment, I don't think we could really have asked for any more, to be honest with you. You know, we all knew what the pricing was going to be. We're all engaged in what the pricing was going to be. We all knew about the sponsorship. We're all looking forward to the kit coming out and all this kind of stuff, I think. So I think it's completely different, a completely different atmosphere, and it's just got that positive momentum. Now, if the first game of the season, it'll be an absolute disaster and all out the window. And we'll be hurling abuse. We'll all three of us have fallen out, and you know, I was stormed off just after half time and things. But at the moment, before the football starts, before the football properly starts, it's fucking tremendous.
Tremendous. So. Yeah.
Well, on that note, like obviously we had our first away friendly. Well, I don't know, we had one like a first away friendly at Bonnyrigg on Saturday. Right, you know, it was a massive squad there. Young team turned up with drums and smoke bombs and all that kind of caper, right? Had to get stewarded by three guys for the entire time, eh?
Bob's in the middle with glow sticks cutting shapes and joining.
10, 12-year-olds in that, and these guys are just hawking at them, looking at them the entire time. It was embarrassing. Anyway, but do you know what I mean? Everybody was excited to go up. You know what I mean? It was like, right, what we're doing, who's going, messages flying around. Okay, right, we'll meet at 11 o'clock because we're so excited. It was an early kickoff at 2 o'clock. So I was like, right, we'll meet at 11 o'clock. Pubs were opening, and they go up there, a few pints at Bonnyrigg, and another one back out, singing at the karaoke at the Hoppy. Oh, Jesus. I'll send you that video later. That was the wee bit. Absolutely no danger of getting anywhere near that. But do you know what I mean? It was like a different vibe. Because last season, I popped along a couple of away games, just to tick off a couple of games. I went to Kelty, I went to Queen of the South and that. Ticked off a couple of new grounds for me, so I could say I'd done them. But it wasn't that same vibe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like, Like for Kelly, for example, it's only a short hop, it's not far away. There was
no
like, all right, what time
are
we going? Are we going?
Yeah.
They were desperately like, there was no desperation. It was like, right, we'll just meet you this time. Couple of cans for the bus or whatever. There was no like, right, what are we doing? Where are we going? When's it happening? And all that kind of stuff. Eh? So it makes a massive, massive difference to the whole outlook of the club, whether it be fans getting excited for anything, slightly better press, whatever it is. Really?
No, I totally agree. There's a void, the right term. A severe lack of optimism last year. As you say, we went along to the odd game. You probably feel for the women as well, because as a previous secretary tried to get us to go along one year and we kind of stuck at it, you know, to give them a lot of press and they were good, and then they've had an excellent year last year and it's like, oh well, cheers girls. Do you know? You feel for people like that because they probably would have got better crowds at Meadowbank, although for the couple of times it did go along, it was busy enough, but they might have got even more, do you know, if it's the hot, everybody was still all in, if that makes sense. Everybody was very much all out for a long time. So, yeah, it's been disappointing, but as Ali points out, the football's not started yet, but it's all very, very positive, which is good. So, and the guys are very to move forward. The guys on the board are very forthcoming and you know, and seem very open. Long may that continue. I hope it lasts for a long, long time, because we're used to Mr. Lumsden and having a bit of banter with you, and you know, at least coming to chat to you and that. And I hope and not to slate the other guys, because if the other guys were there, they would always say hello to you as well. But obviously, there's certain things that happen in a football club or any business that has to stay under the wraps. But certainly, John and the guys seem to be a bit more open and a bit more up for more fan engagement. So hopefully, long may that continue.
Indeed. I suppose in terms of fan engagement.
Let's just get out of the way. There wasn't a vote. It was all a dictator. Ali and I were going to suggest putting one of ourselves forward because we're a wee bit more level-headed, but we both put yourself forward and now become the fan liaison, fan rep, i.e. he's going to swan about in a shirt and tie at the games and speak to us, which is fine. If that's what he wants to do, then well, the Fallon Out campaign has picked up pace and we've got a plane standing by.
Good. Good. Not hanging about with the riffraff anymore. Well, I did get offered not to hang about the riffraff on Saturday and chose to stand with the fans because I am a man of the people.
Oh,
very
my
good.
Word.
Very good.
Right.
Oh,
very good. No, but as it is, for those that don't know, I did not put my name forward. I was asked during the kind of potential ownership change if I'd be willing to come on as a fan rep. Just, I'm a Kent face. The new owners knew me. Knew how I previously conducted business in terms of stories and stuff like that and getting information between the fans and back to the club and all that kind of stuff. So after much deliberation, because it certainly wasn't going to go, I'll do that, what do you want me to do? Nah, no chance, that was never happening. It took me a good couple of weeks before I decided to say yes. Obviously I conversed with you guys as well and a few other people. But I think it's a major step forward for the football club. I think most clubs, if they don't have a fan rep or a supporter liaison officer, would certainly want one. The fact that we've done it's one of the first actions that the new regime committed to kind of speaks volumes for their willingness to engage with the fans and have some feedback between the fans and the board. Because as we noticed last season, without the fans, the club are pretty much nothing. So it's also gives us, a go-between the fans. For those of the long-standing players as well, it gives them a known face as well, in case there's know that the fans are still involved and they're willing to be involved. All in all, I don't know how long I'm going to be in the board. I don't know if I'm going to do fixed terms or anything like that, or if I'll chuck my ball out. Again, after three games gone, you can stick your club up your arse or whatever. I can't see that, but you never know. So my role hasn't quite been properly defined yet. I've obviously got a Twitter account at ECFC Fan Rep. My email address has been set up, which I'll put on Twitter because I can't remember offhand. And I'm not going to look it up because I can't be bored right now. We're too busy recording. So, it's not been quite defined. There's bits and bobs, obviously, I need to sort out. I've got a list of things fans would like sorted. Pies being yeah. on one of the list. But that goes back to Photo Fuck will go, pies? Who cares about pies? But it's that thing that we said like right at the top. Wee things make a difference to fans, right? And pies make a massive difference to a Scottish football fan. If you don't get them, you get ripped for it. If the option is not there, you get ripped for it. So you might as well have the option there and we can sort that out. But anyway, yes. So yes, I am the fan rep. If anybody wants to ask or comment or give a suggestion, then don't hesitate to contact me, whether it be there at the ground, whether it be email, whether it be Twitter. I believe Alex is going to give me a page in the programme, a nice big picture.
That's good.
Great.
There you go.
Double spread.
That's just for my big bonds. I think it's an encouraging thing for the club. And once whoever it is for me then hand over the reins, then that's great. So I don't know what you guys think when you go. Whoever wants to go.
No, I think it's a very positive thing. Personally, you need to, like you say, you need to define what your role is going to be like. I think it would be good if it was a fixed term, you know, and it would give other people a shot.
Yep.
Then again, there might be nobody else wanting to do it, or you might do really, really well at it, and everybody goes, Bob, do you want to continue? So at least, it gives the opportunity to evolve, you know, and evolve and let other people. But I think it's very, very positive, and it's a very, very good move, which I'm delighted to see the guys taking on board.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think, I totally agree. I think it's absolutely the right thing to do, and I think you're the right man for the job. You can take the difficult early years before someone else comes in and takes all the glory further down the line. But I think it is key that not just the fan rep role you have, but that we, you know, really focus on getting information out of the club. Because even last year, you know, away fans and things and other maybe kind of casual people who would come along weren't really getting any information whatsoever. They weren't, if they were asking things, they weren't getting updated. There was nothing obvious. The website didn't exist for a 404 for most of the, you know, for most of the season. And so I think that's something that communication as well. So some people might know me from Pie and Bovril. I'll try and make sure that for people who think who prefer that method of communication, I'll keep Pie and Bovril up to date, you know, with things. If there's stuff that I think is useful, we'll make sure it's posted on there as well. I know there's a Twitter account, I suppose Threads as well, which is the new as we speak, is the, you know, the hot new thing. But as you said earlier, that the club are also getting better at that social media engagement as well. And I do think that is key, actually, just to kind of keep building that community, people who maybe aren't going to buy a season ticket or a membership but might be interested in finding out a little bit more about the club, might be interested in popping along as well. And I think that's where we can use that to also kind of leverage some relationships around the Edinburgh community. I saw we posted about the Capitals, which I know you're very familiar with, Bob, about the kind of their season ticket offer or about, you know, yeah, opportunity to go and see them, which I think is really good. Like that kind of, yeah, like even that kind of stuff is helping build up a little bit of community and seeing who's behind the club will make a massive. So you've got a role, you've got a formal role in terms of that, that engagement, but I think there is a wider piece as well that we all take a little bit of responsibility for. That's just helping getting the message out, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing, because like the fans are engaged at this minute, you might as well use them. There's quite a lot of fans, exactly, with quite a lot of experience and expertise that if you tap into just a little bit, can probably help the club considerably. Like you obviously mentioned with the Caps, so like I go there quite a lot, so I've got me, I could maybe do something with the Monarchs, I don't know. You've got somebody like Aaron who can tap into that student market, have obviously extensive experience in the student market. You know, there's like yourself, financial or anything like that, they can just ask and hopefully you'll get some kind of support. The one thing I was going to say is obviously Bonnie Rigg did a great you know, you're talking about away fans and what do you do and all that kind of stuff. Bonnerig did a great guide to New Dundas Park for away fans.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was thinking maybe I could just type up one of them and get it on the website just for local hostelries and coffee shops. And
if you're coming from this direction,
if you're coming from this direction, get this bus and all this kind of stuff. And it makes a massive difference because what can go, oh, where is it? Oh, it's just on the website here. Click, click, click. Right, we'll do that. Recommend, obviously, the Belfield. There's a couple other local boozers and all that you probably recommend as well.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference. That's one of the big differences in Meadowbank, is there actually is things to do. It's not like Ainslie Park where there was nothing to do. Or if you did do something, it was Stop Bridge and a taxi ride for Stop Bridge because it was another half hour or 40 minutes on foot. So,
yeah.
Aye, just wee bits like that make a massive difference. So, aye, positive there, positive there. Anything else to be positive about?
No, and if anybody's not happy that we now have a board member on the board, please let me and Ali know and we can evict him.
What is this, Big Brother?
Well,
I think what I should say is for people listening, I think, and anyone who's interested in the club and things, please don't think it's a closed shop in terms of fan engagement, in terms of like, oh, it's just what you see on the podcast think or what their pals think. It's not like that. I absolutely assure you. Anyone who wants to get involved, anyone who's got an idea, anyone who thinks, why isn't the club doing this? Reach out to one of the three of us, reach out on Twitter, find Bravo, whatever. It will get to the ownership of the club. This is not a like a tight knit club in terms of, okay, we've got this and it's our ball, we're going to play with it. I guarantee it's not like that. I really guarantee. I don't want anyone to think that just because we've been involved with what's happened over the last few months and things, that means we are some higher echelon of supporters. It's not like that at all. I promise. It's egalitarian. It's whatever.
Yeah.
Hear more ideas. We want new people to get involved in the club, and it's probably your chance to, if you think there's a thing a Scottish football club should be doing and isn't doing, this is probably your most captive audience. This football club, Edinburgh City Football Club, is your most captive audience just now, because it is new ownership. We are open to new ideas. We do need to be trying to be creative and a little bit different. Not everything will work, and not everything would. They don't know if New York would go with everything, but they are open to new ideas, new people. So yeah, anyone who's listening anyone who just wants to chat about the club as well, you know, it can be a bit intimidating coming along to a new game and not knowing people. Like, reach out to one of us. Happy to chat through it. We can always meet folk up for a pint beforehand and stuff, and let them know we want to make sure the club is welcoming, because I think that's why all of us are involved. When we first came, you just mentioned, you know, Jalum's in there, Rooney. That's the reason a lot of people are still here, because he was so engaging and so friendly that first time he went. So we want to try and continue that.
Definitely.
Aye, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't disagree with any of that. It's one of these things that, because it's all hands on deck, we need as many voices as we can get. And that's the plain and simple fact of the matter. Things... break a mirror here, but financially things are a lot different to the previous ownership. And if anything, you can think of anything that could help the club in any which way you think. You might even think it's something that sounds really trivial, but just give us a shout, because it might be the thing that makes a massive difference to open a door that opens another door to something major. So feel free to come and speak to any of us. Like, we'll speak to people before if they've noticed us for the pod or anything like that. Obviously, we had the page in the programme and all that kind of stuff as well. Please do not hesitate to come and speak to us. That's why I'm here. That's why I took on the role as fan rep. It wasn't just for the Bob Fallon show. It was to make sure people could come and have that conduit to the board with anything that you can think of. And I'm totally open to anything new, because I think Scottish football has its moments, but it's really stuck. It's probably the best way to put it. A lot of older people, perhaps, who are stuck in their ideas, or people who are just set in their ways. I'm not really particularly set in the ways. There's things I would like to change, and there's lots of things I'd like to change. We've discussed them in previous pods. I'm not going to go over them again just now, but it's just one of those things. So come and see us. Don't be shy. We're usually pretty friendly.
Usually.
That will depend on what the result is at the time, of course.
Yeah.
But no, we're a mainly welcoming bunch. Yes, folks, so as we were saying, feel free to come and speak to us anywhere you can find us, whether it be online or in person. So moving on, probably the biggest news of the summer to do with the club, the fact that our centre-forward, Uzi C, hero, promotion hero times two, has found his way onto the Love Island. Right. I don't watch it. Rooney has been giving us updates, so but on you go.
Yeah, I mean, I feel I had to watch it just to make sure he was, you know, he wasn't letting himself go. Let's put it this way. I don't know if he's getting any exercise. He'll be able to tell us that off the record later on, maybe when he comes back. But I have to admit, in my work, I think I've got 13 or 14 in my team, maybe 13, something like that. And I took in eight apprentices this year. And the eight of them watch it. So when Love Island started, I was like, you need to have a word with yourself, what you're doing with your life, watching that horrendous show, what's going on? And then obviously the news broke, and I've been gripped ever since. So I'm slightly disappointed that we are still recording here, and I'm going to have to watch it on Plus One. But you know, that's life. And there's a severe lack of Maya Yama for my liking. She's only on once a week. But I have been gripped. It's very entertaining. Not enough Uzi. You know, he's popping in now and again. He seems to have moved on to a new lady, which I'm sure everybody will approve of. So he's still there, is the best way to put it. So don't know what I'm going to do if he gets voted out early. I mean, I'm going to be lost. So, yeah, falling out, Uzi in. So that's going to be the slogan for the season.
On that note, Alistair.
Ali's just covered up his signed photo of him behind him. So, you know, it's
it's about as far from my area of expertise as you could possibly get. I would suggest, and even everyone knows my love for Uzi, even that isn't enough to make me watch that show, to be honest. I just don't know what I'll do, because as both of you know, whenever there's any man of the match voting, irrespective of if he's been on the park or whatever, I will give Uzi at least 1 point in our man of the match voting pretty much every week. But if he's away and was it Mallorca, is it, did you say?
I believe so.
He's away out there for himself. Even I'll struggle to get him some points in the man of the match. Then. So come back, Uzi. We need you. He's got a crucial role. He'd only signed his contract about 2 days before he fucked off as well. So,
well, there was that interview with the chairman on Sky Sports saying his last call was before he went in was to the gaffer. I'm like, can you imagine how that phone call went? All right, Mabes, I'm going on Love Island. That is probably how it went. I don't actually have no info how it went, but I can imagine that's roughly how it goes.
Anything not to do pre-season. You know, that's looking at it from a football perspective.
But from a different perspective, slightly sensible, it's probably put more eyeballs on the football club than we've ever had, let's be honest. And fair play to the club for buying into it. Some folk were trying to dig them out on social media, which I thought was entirely unfair. If your footballer's on there, you might as well just play into it and see what you can get. It's a really, really easy marketing ploy. If we can somehow get the narrator to give us a wee bit more mentions as well, seeing he's an Edinburgh boy. unfortunately, supports the wrong side of the town. But if Ian Stirling could get us a wee bit more mentions, that'd be quite good too. I think playing into it is a masterstroke by the club, if I'll be brutally honest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even if it adds, like, even if it was to just add 10 folk on the gate each week, I mean, it doesn't sound a lot, but the position we're in just now, 10 makes a massive difference. Then 10 can become 20 if you enjoy yourselves and so on and so forth. Eh? I mean, if the strip could have been out in time, we could have had Uzi modelling it on Love Island and then saved a big rush. Big rush of people. but no, fair play. I mean, if that's how he's going to do it and he gets to sell on, I mean, if he was to win it, it'd be absolutely life-changing for the boy. Certainly make a damn sight. playing League One. Exactly. But I'm not going to lie, when I was first told he was going on it, I was laughing for a full 5 minutes. I could not stop. I was howling, absolutely howling. And I did say on the Supporters Club Twitter, I would love, because obviously if you're a member or a season ticket holder or both, whatever it works out as, you get invited to a training session. I would love for the fans to be invited to that training session, because he's going to get an absolute hounding. Hounding off the boys when he comes back. Right, you can already see it wee bits on social media with some of the boys, man. They're already ripping into him. It's going to be a million times worse when he gets back, whenever he gets back. So I believe I've been reliably informed the final is the 20th of July. I don't know if there's other votes or that on the way. I don't watch it. I'm not going to lower my IQ.
It sounds like you've been watching it, Robert. It sounds you're really up to date with what's happening.
It's the benefits of working with teenagers. Right, for those that don't know what with children and young people, and some of my young people will be like, "You know, Easy." I do actually. Aye, how do you know Easy? I play for Edinburgh City. I know him through the football team and all that. Man, he seems really nice. he's quite a nice lad. Aye. He's coming across quite well on the telly show and all that. So I was like, "Well, that's all right then," because obviously you want him to come off well. It means it looks good for the club as well, and that's one. I'm more bothered about it, to be honest.
You're not bothered about if he wins. Exactly, yeah, I know.
Christ, if he wins, we'll never see him again.
Well, that's true.
Well, we probably will. He can come and parade at halftime, like Love Island won a Rousey scene and all that. Kind of stuff. He like the royal wave at the middle of the pitch at Meadowbank.
We've not scored a goal for the first 18 minutes. Yeah. All this. All these new pies will be launched at him for the front row of that stand at Meadowbank.
In fairness, so if you could reach the middle of the park for the stand, color, yeah, you'd probably be better competing in the shot put. just decided into first anyway. We knew it was going to happen after we spoke to Uzi. So where we go next? I'll have a wee word, obviously. For those that don't know, we did get to present a Player of the Year award for last year. Hold on. For last year, we eventually got to present the men's to Brian Schwalke after much... much organising. Yeah. Two seasons ago, because it's not 2 years ago yet. Two seasons ago. Eventually got to Brian. He was absolutely delighted and made up, as you could tell by his big cheesy grin in the pictures. We also got our first Women's Player of the Year, Caitlin Russell. She was delighted as well. We got to the most recent season.
I need to say this. Before you go on to the men's, for anybody asking, there was no dodgy votes. It was triple checked. I was a bit suspicious about it as well. So we've got independent people to check it. It isn't just Bob voting for one person all the time. It was done legitimately. For the rest of the players, we're sorry. He did actually win it.
Aye. All I'll say is that I wasn't really at enough games to decide where that Player of the Year trophy was going to go. So everybody else that went to a number of more games than me managed to vote for it. The votes were independently totted up. I was independently checked, and I was absolutely over the moon to finally give Danny Handlin that award for various reasons, because he's been close a couple of times. It was anniversary. He's signing on 5 years when we handed it to him. Yeah. He's a good laddie, and it'll probably save me a massive tonny earache on social media now that he's finally got the one that he's always been wanting. Doesn't give a toss about Players of the Year or that, Players Player and that rubbish. That was the one he wanted. So he's finally got it. Well done, Danny. Also, Women's Player of the Year went to Debs McLeod. Unfortunately, she couldn't make it to the presentation award, but well done to Debs. She had a fantastic season and what was a terrific season for the women. I don't know if you just want to jump in quickly there.
Yeah, I think on Danny in particular, he has, that's a significant period of his career. He's been with us, and players don't always hang around that long in these divisions. And he gets captain's armband pretty regularly. Well, he moans a bit less now than he used to. But as he's getting older, he's getting less moany, which is a strange way to go. But he's been a really good player for the club. Got that level of consistency now for a couple of seasons, so he He definitely deserves the award. He's come back from in the pre-season friendlies looking pretty sharp, looking ready to go as well. We talk about the young boys that we'll have to bring through. So Danny's got a huge role now as one of the more senior, more experienced players to guide these young boys on and make sure they have a success. So no, well deserved for Danny.
Really?
Yep, well deserved. Well done. Well done. Maybe I'll stop moaning at us. We'll see if he does it. He probably will. Means you can moan at him now in your official committee.
I said that to play the year awards night. I was like, because I'm on the board, does that make me his boss now?
I would say the player of the year awards going on to that, you know, not to devalue anything, what the guys have done. It was a great achievement for everybody who got an award. It was really good. It was nice it was in a new sponsor. It was nice it was in the middle field, nice and chilled out.
Yep.
It was a Monday night, so it was a wee bit more tame than other people had dissipated, but you know, it was good. It was a good laugh.
Yep. It was good to see the boys, a few of the boys down there as well. And various other fans, some new faces I'd never seen before as well, which I thought was good. So that was great. It was short notice. It was only done in about 2 weeks. But this, yep, standard hospitality at the Belfield was excellent. I'm not going to complain. You'll hear us talk a lot about the Belfield in the coming weeks and months. Just a little bit on Danny, as you said, about like the captain's armband, he moans less. I think the difference is he's kind of matured a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you like me saying that, but there's a difference in how he seems to approach the game.
Yeah.
Than maybe he did when he was a wee bit younger. Yeah. And you can see that. And I think that's making a difference to how he plays his football as well, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
You know, he's looking a lot better on the park. I think the last two, three seasons, even when we were having that bad wobble under Naismith, he was still playing pretty well. And he was still at least shown or trying to show for games where the rest of them are maybe struggling a little bit under the former guidance. But no, yeah, delighted. Delighted, as I say, he's a good laddie. Despite all the piss he gets, all that rubbish he gets. almost I wasn't going to swear as much. So delighted with that. So, in terms of players, obviously, we had long standing players there, and Danny will probably have a wee tribute to some long standing players that departed who were crucial over a number of seasons and, of course, the promotion season. Annan, I'll let Ali start. Probably because if I let me start about one of them, I'll be here all night and probably start crying. So, go.
No, I think, you know, there are a number of players that have played a huge role in us. It's going up. Some who are there for longer than others. You know, I think everyone at the club was desperate to keep Robbie McIntyre on and off the park, I think, in terms of like, but guy had a really difficult time with injuries, which is must have been really hard for him to deal with. And maybe his career hasn't quite gone to the level that I think a lot of us thought it would, but that's no disrespect to him. That's no judgment on him. It's just, you know, that injury was a really bad one. He came, you know, we spoke to us all about it, chatted us. It must have been incredibly difficult, but he was an absolute credit. All that time he was off injured, a real credit to the club, credit to himself. And then when he came back in again, he was just an absolutely tremendous footballer because that's what he is. So yeah, obviously sad to see Robbie go. I think he'll be someone that we'll all remember. It's been a big part of Edinburgh City. But we understood why he went. Obviously another few others not going to go through. But everybody, Robbo is one that's probably worth calling out. You know, gone got a really good move to Linfield. So we'll all keep a real eye on him to see how he's got on. Guy who he didn't have a great reputation, to be honest, I think, when he came to us. That's what we were told. You know, he's going to be difficult. He's going to be a problem and things. He had a few huffs and a few puffs. And, you know, the toys were at the pram occasionally, but I don't think he never came across to me as a bad guy. You know, a bit. He was just said Danny doesn't moan that much in the park anymore. Robbo moaned all the time. Like he was always, the arms were always up and he was always swearing about something. But, you know, he scored some of the best goals I think I've ever seen from this level of football.
Yeah.
And actually there was a couple of individual performances where you were just like, he's unstoppable in this league. Like there was even guys he was playing up against, you know, had played at a higher level. Could not cope with him. They just could not cope with the way he moved his body, with the strength of his left foot, he was just times looked like, why is this boy not playing, you know, top level in Scotland? So hopefully when he goes away to the Linfield, which will be tough for him, be a real challenge, because it's a League One in Scotland is a grim and grisly place. I think the Northern Irish stuff can be just as bad. So that'll be great. Look, can't say how Robbo gets on. I wish him all the success in the world. And I think just one player for me to mention as well is Danny Jardine, who's moved on. Probably maybe you just talk about the difficult time under Naismith. Actually, I thought Danny Jardine was one of the guys that Naismith got the best out of. He was a player that we'd heard a lot about and we were keen to get in. And it was only, we only saw maybe a flash of Danny, of how good he could be. But he was exactly my type of midfielder, to be honest with you. When he was there, you know, he was aggressive, he was brave on the ball, he was always making things difficult for opposition. He was fit, he was energetic, you know, he did every part of the game. Again, just injuries just meant that it hasn't really worked out for him. So it's a real, real pity for a guy who, you know, seemed like a nice guy, and every time he was able to make it onto the park, I thought he made an exceptional contribution. He was him and actually Alan Smith are the two players that I always think back to. Think we could have just kept them. But yeah. What difference would they have made? You just, you know, it's fans. So it's maybe hard to appreciate the impact injuries can have. But every now and again, I think you get a stark example, and Danny Jardine is one for me as somebody who was just so unlucky. And it just didn't work out for him. But you know, there's other players of us as well that have been big contributors, but I just thought it was worth touching on those three.
Yep, Brinny.
Well, I mentioned Taps playoff year was excellent. Obviously last year he's, don't know how much he's kicked a ball. It seemed like he hardly kicked a ball. So, you know, for a guy who come from a high pedigree as well, like a lot of the players have had, he was exceptional the year we got up. And, you know, the games against Annan, bossing that midfield, you know, McFarland done it all the years ago when we beat Shire on one leg. So, you know, fair play to him. And then, you know, Robbie Much, you look at Robbie was, I think Robbie was a big coup to get him in, or a big coup, sorry. How you get him in is incredible, you know. So he's, thought he was excellent every time I'd seen him, and probably, dare I say it, too good. Needs to be playing full time, you know. He's probably just dropped out of it, so he's now dropped back into it, which is good for him. But yeah, probably just he was too good. But fair play to him. Travelling down for Aberdeen every week, as he said at the Player of the Year Awards. So, you know, fair play to him. He was good. He's got his move. And if that's what we do as a club, then great. You know, as long as guys go into pastures new and they remember the good times, it's good. So fair play to them.
Aye, I don't think anybody would disagree seeing this as a stepping stone to full time football. Yeah. I think we kind of, I think we're all pretty pragmatic about a place in the pyramid. Robbie obviously is one example there. He kind of dropped out. I think the Falkirk fans were a wee bit be careful with him kind of idea, but he played pretty well by all accounts for us. Certainly games I was at, he was excellent for most of those games. I think it's actually a mark of the laddie that he turned up to the Player of the Year Awards after he signed for there. So full credit to him. Yeah. Obviously, you mentioned Danny Jardine, one of the success stories under Naismith, totally. Obviously, you mentioned his injuries. I think that was probably the same for Taps.
Yeah.
We didn't quite get the best that we expected for the reason of injury. He played really well after Mabry came in, it must be said. I think he kind of suffered a little bit because of the lack of cohesion under the previous manager. Which I think was noted for quite a lot of them. You could see a massive difference.
Yeah.
Obviously, for Robbie, no secret in my love for the man. He's an absolute diamond on the pitch. He was a diamond off the pitch. Took on the club captaincy. Everybody expected him, I think, to get it. He kept that armband and performed as you would expect, really, on and off the park.
Yeah.
You know, I think when he first came in, he came from Tynecastle, was a pretty unheralded signing. Most people are like, who's this laddie here? Then after a few games, we're like, this boy's pretty good, eh?
Yeah.
And then as the season went on, you're like, this boy's an absolute Rolls Royce of a footballer. How the hell is he playing with us? And then he kind of carried on for five, what was it, five seasons? Four, five seasons? Five seasons would have been.
I think it's the same as when Danny and Blackie and that all come in. Yeah,
that's right. So I think it's fair to say he'll probably go down as one of our all time greats. Certainly one of the best players I've ever seen in Edinburgh City shirt. I think we'd all have him pretty much in our all time 11. Another captain that's got us promoted. I mean, just even that, just the mark of the man for inviting us all out for the drinks and that. Yeah. And we're getting day three of celebrations. But you know what? How many other captains would have done that? How many other clubs or players would have done that? No many. You know what I mean? So I think that just kind of shows kind of what he was like, what he's like as a guy off the park, to think about us and say, right, let's all go out and have a celebration together. Eh? So, yep, he'll always be welcome back. I think he knows that. We'll all probably maybe pop down to Trinity to see him a couple of times as well, see how he's getting on. So, best wishes to all of them. I probably should mention Robbo because I do watch a lot of Northern Irish football. It is a decent move for him. David Tealy is a bit of a hard taskmaster. If he thought Alan Mabry was difficult, he's got nothing yet. That's probably the best I'll say about Healy without getting myself into trouble. But he's won a lot of trophies at Linfield. He knows how to win. If anybody's going to get Robbo into shape, Healy's probably your man. And if he can do well, there's a good chance to move across to England or something like that as well. There is a pathway for him. It is full-time football now in Northern Ireland. He will be playing European football on Thursday. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even if it is just qualifiers, that's a massive step up to what he's been playing at League One. I know Linfield lost last year against Kelty, but and sometimes the standard of the Irish Premiership is not always.
But it's full time.
It is full time. It's not always the greatest, but the thing is that you're in that transition now from going for part time to full time. So there is a transition about how to manage that and all that kind of stuff. You've picked Robbo up, he's still a young laddie. They're probably going to do well with them if they manage him right.
Yeah.
So well done. Well done to Robbo for that move.
In closing,
is there anything else we need to add there or?
No, I suppose just about in closing, in terms of what we see for the podcast for the rest of the season, I think we're looking at maybe every fortnight, you know, you might see some different faces on depending on the availability. We'll be kind of reviewing games as well. It'll be the odd kind of special podcast, you know, whether it's people involved in the ownership of the club coming on, whether it's players coming on. As I said, we will look to spend some time and put something decent together to talk about what did happen over the last year and particularly the particularly those rather tense few weeks where it was like living in an episode of Succession. It was quite intense, but I think we're trying to talk through that, and it'll be about, it should be something for Edinburgh City fans and then for also people who are interested in the club as well, you know, away fans. I think we've all gone on other fans' podcasts and things like that. So we might do something similar as well, because we know Meadowbank isn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but we should make sure that away fans are welcomed and get a decent experience as much as possible. So that'll be, I think, some of the aims for the podcast for the season.
Mm-hmm. I have been told that should there be any players or anything like that we would like on, they will essentially be told to come on. So Danny Handlin, seeing that you will be listening, we're finally going to get you on here, big man.
It's going to be a 5-hour special as well.
A 5-hour special? Oh, man. Didn't want to scare him off. Didn't want to scare him off. It'll just be 4.5. So, yes, that's the plan anyway. Obviously, I'll be slightly facetious there, but we'll have planned it for a wee bit shorter pods, but a bit more frequent pods. If there's anything you guys want to see, just kind of hit us up on the socials or see us at grounds, or even if you just want to email me at the fanrep one, once I put that on Twitter, do that. I don't know if there's anything you want to add there, Ronnie.
No, totally agree. I'm all up for it. Shorter than lockdown, we'd be doing a bumper hour session, although this one has been a bit of a bumper one to start with, but we'll try and make it shorter than more frequent this time.
I think the first one back was always going to be slightly longer. I think when we do the special, because it'll be a separate special of us going over the last year and the name change. If we can get somebody for the board done, great. If not, then we can probably fill in the gaps because all three of us were involved quite heavily at points. So, and I can probably give a run through the really tough parts of that 3 weeks before that before it was all signed over, because I've never taken so many phone calls and text messages, and I was actually going to work for like Peace. That's how bad it was.
Well, we can get into that. We can get into
that. We will get into that eventually. So, so we'll do that as a special, as a long term one. I don't know when you want to do it. It's up to maybe if the fans want one, tell us when you want to do it. We'll figure out something.
Yeah.
As it is, I mean, this is like, as I said at the beginning of today's pod, it was like, we've not done an agenda. We don't know what we're doing, really. It's just us getting back to the swing of things because it's like a whole year off. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully, it sounds all right to you guys. I think it has, but done all right.
Yeah.
All good. Happy with that.
All good.
You know, you know where to complain if it's.
Yes. Neil Rooney. Neil Rooney, so you got to complain.
Yeah.
Don't CC me in. Don't, or BCC me in either. I don't want to see it.
Family is on both islands.
Oh, I was just going to start every week falling out on me. I can see it now.
It's fine. I'm going to tag the podcast that is falling out, so it's fine. That's it.
Superb, eh? I'm already regretting this. Do you know what? I'm already regretting it. I've got all this crap already. I've got folk being wido on social media, folk being wido on, like, widows in real life.
Wait till we start chanting, we want falling out at the ground. Just, you know, we might be four or five up 1 week, so we'll start chanting, we want falling out.
That's good, because I'll probably lean it by the time anyway. So, is there anything else you want to add before we say our goodbyes?
Not for me, thank you.
No, okay then.
Looking forward to the season?
Yes, it's the first time I've looking forward to a season for quite some time. It must be said, I got my season ticket already.
Yep.
Got my membership kind of sorted out. We'll see how that goes. So yeah, right. So then it's a good night for Mr. Rooney.
Good night. Stay safe, folks.
And a goodbye for Mr. Moncrief.
Hello all.
It's a goodbye for me, the right Rev. Goodbye.